Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, you know we consider that a sign of high intelligence. Anybody who listens and continues to listen is obviously a member of the really bright people's group, and we appreciate that very much. You're right up there in terms of intelligence. With all of the radio affiliates who take our show, the people who make those decisions, they're the highly intelligent people too, and we appreciate them as well. Dr. William Duckerberg is with us, ladies and gentlemen. As you know, Bill is a longtime friend of ours, a great member of our Brain Trust. He's a professor of economics at the School of Business and Management at Temple University in the great city of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Formerly the dean of that whole business school over there at Temple. And he also is the chief economist with the National Federation of Independent Business. But the thing he's the most proud of, I know, in all of the things he's ever done, is being a member of the Small Business Advocate Brain Trust. Bill, welcome back to the show.
How did you know?
Well, I just took a wild guess there, Bill.
Yeah.
Hey, Bill, welcome back. And I know that you've been one of the things before we get into the report. What we're going to do today, folks, is in a minute we're going to talk about the report that Bill conducts every month and has been not doing now for decades, on where he talks to small business owners and asks them questions. How's things going? How's business? And what are you seeing out there? And he compiles all their responses and puts it into a handy-dandy report, and he reports it to us, among others, every month, and posts it on websites, and including ours, allows us to post it on ours. And so we're going to talk about that report as we do every month. And in a little bit later in the hour, we're going to do our Fed report, our FedWatch portion of the show, which is where we're going to get Bill to tell us what he thinks the Fed's going to do, because this is the second of a two-day meeting today and this afternoon they will announce what they're going to do with rates however they're feeling about inflation and the economy and that sort of thing. But Bill, before we get into that, I know you've been doing some work and some speaking on this subprime lending issue, this meltdown almost in the subprime lending. What do you think about all that?
Well, I think it's way overblown in terms of its magnitude. It is something we haven't experienced before, because over the last 20 years we have democratized credit. So, you know, if you were to go back to the early 1980s, we only made loans to A credits back then, and we didn't have many bankruptcies or delinquencies, even in the bad times. And things were kind of okay, but then we deregulated. We got rid of all those interest rate ceilings, and basically lenders were able to make loans to anybody as long as they charged a high enough rate to cover the losses. So
if you
were lending to A credits, so I say only 1 in 100 loans would go bad, so you charge, 1% extra. But then you lend to riskier people, say 10 in 100 loans go bad, you have to charge over 10% extra on top of your cost of funds.
That's
basically subprime. So over the 20 years, we've added more and more risk, if you will, to the lending portfolio. But that doesn't mean that that lenders are in trouble.
Some companies that were 100% subprime are in trouble.
Well, that's true, because they didn't do what they're supposed to do, and that's diversify. But if you look at the risk that we've had, and think about a subprime mortgage and how it carries a certain risk. Some little bank, like my little bank, will initiate that, and we'll send it up to an aggregator. We'll sell it because we don't hold the mortgages. They put it in a package.
And securitize it.
Securities, right.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are probably owned by the French right now. I mean, the whole world was investing in these things, so the risk the risk really didn't change. We're just moving it around. And I think
which makes the securitization of this is what makes this different from the SNL meltdown of the 80s.
It's one
of the ways, isn't it?
Right. It's diversified. Instead of one little bank holding all these mortgages and then having them go
which were also made as, you know, probably ill-advised loans that caused those banks to go down. These are ill-advised loans that were spread across basically the global economy.
Right. And I think what happened is that, you know, people didn't really pay attention to what subprime meant. So we were making these like 2 years ago, right, when the economy was really doing well and the housing market was really booming. So people, you know, said, wow, these are really great returns on these loans. Why buy those A credits with only, a low rate? But what they forgot to name subprime. And so now they're behaving like subprime loans, and some people are unhappy. But
isn't this whole subprime era? This whole and it is an era. It's only been in existence for less than 10 years, probably.
Right. Exactly.
Isn't this whole subprime era akin to the dot-com era of the late 90s? And wouldn't Charles McKay, the economist from the 19th century who wrote Extraordinary Popular Delusions and the Madness of Crowds, wouldn't he write a chapter about this if he were writing that book again today?
Well, if he did, I think it'd be a mighty small chapter.
Stand by, Bill. Quick break, 20 till. We'll be right back. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
Aflac for small...
We're back. It's 17 till. Wishing my life away, I guess. It's good to be back, and we got our good friend Bill Dunkelberg with us. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg is with us. I'm Jim Blassingame, and my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Thank you for checking it out and using it to your advantage. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter, which comes by email every Sunday afternoon for free. It costs you nothing, but all you got to do is just subscribe. You have to give us permission to send it to you, folks. We don't spam. And also, check out my blog while you're there and all the other things, including the report that Bill posts with us once a month, which is what Bill and I are going to talk about in just a minute or so. Bill, quickly on this subprime thing. I heard somebody the other day, and I'm going to try to paraphrase this the best I can, who said if all of the subprime loans were in default, which they're not, and if all those went into foreclosure, which they won't, it would still be only like it would be less than 1% of all mortgages.
Yeah, it's a small percentage of all mortgages,
and as you pointed out to me during the break, there's still the underlying real estate. This is not like a dot bomb that collapsed where we got nothing but old furniture and a dead website. There's real property there.
That's right. There's real property there, and a lot of people will, you know, figure out a way to get around it, and the lenders are going to work with them because they don't want the loans to go bad anyway. So, we got some problems. There was some fraud. You know, there were some originators who were cheating, but there always are. But the market's looking for something to overreact to, and it found it.
And isn't this a product, Bill, also of the 24-hour news cycle? The business news cycle is the business news stations have got to have something to talk about.
Yeah, definitely.
Probably a lot of that. Bill, let's get over to your report that you conduct every month. Good news, bad news. What do we got?
Well, it's kind of the same news. Not much changed. There are 10 index components, and the average of all those components fell 0.7 points, so we're around 98. The long run 30-year average is 100, so we're a little bit below the average, but we're doing pretty well. The two things that declined in the index were expectations for improvements in real sales and, of course, plans to hire, which were extraordinarily strong before, so they went down to something that was more consistent with the kind of growth we're seeing in the economy. So, you know, we're looking at 2.5% real growth, slow economy, but everything really looks pretty good.
Well, now, slow economy, Bill, we need to put that in perspective. I mean, you're telling us that the first quarter is going to be, in your report, you say it's going to be somewhere around 2.8. Isn't that pretty darn healthy?
Well, it is. We think the long-run growth trend, is around 3%. You know, every year we get 1% more people, and every year on average productivity goes up by 2, so we can produce 3% more stuff. So if spending, if GDP grows by 3, you know, we kind of match it and keep unemployment steady. And, you know, so there are some things like the unemployment rate that tell you that, you know, whatever growth rate we have today, it's like full employment because we don't have any people who are unemployed.
Right.
So that's, you know, so we're getting a signal there. On the other hand, you know, if you look at the record, I mean, here's the Fed looking at this issue today, and I forgot to send them the numbers, and they called me, so it was a reminder that they want them.
But, I'm glad they're doing that. I mean, of course, a pox on them for not getting your report a little earlier because they need these small business numbers.
Yeah, they got it. But anyway, here's their kind of dilemma. The economy, of course, grew almost 6% a year ago this quarter, and then it went down to kind of 2, you know, 2. 2.22 and 2.2 or something like that. So that's below trend growth. So the economy looks like it's a little weak. And other, you know, if you didn't look at anything else, you'd say, well, maybe we should cut rates a little bit. But then on the other hand, we just got the inflation report, and it said over the last 12 months, the core inflation rate is still 2.7%. It is not
right.
Budging. That's
right.
0.7 of a point above where they want it. And, you know, we see that in our numbers because we have, you know, like 12 or 13% of our firms net of those who are cutting are raising prices. That's too high. We've got to get that down.
How much do you think of that?
5%.
How much of that inflation bill do you think is a result of, you know, you were talking about having basically full employment. It's actually worse than that, Bill, because some estimates I'm hearing is that there may be as many as 2 million jobs going unfilled. That's not a good sign. And to me, if we've got a situation like that, that's an inflationary payroll issue. How much of that inflation increase or the holding steady or whatever term they're using for this 2.7% inflation, how much of that do you think is upward pressure on payroll?
Well, I think it's certainly starting to show up. You look at our numbers, we had 30% of our owners said they increased worker comp, and only 13% net were able to raise prices. So,
right.
You know, one, their costs are going up. That's going to be squeezing profits going forward.
That's right.
And two, they don't see as much pricing power as they had a mm-hmm. year ago at this time when better than 1 in 4 were raising prices. So, you know, we do have what we have is price hikes are diminished from a year ago substantially, which is good, but they're still not low enough to get that inflation rate into the sweet spot that the Fed wants.
Right. Well, in general, though, what would you say if you had to say, you know, is what's the Goldilocks report that you think you got from your small business owners? Too hot, too cold, just right?
I'd say probably just about right, maybe a little on the slow side.
Mm-hmm. So maybe just a little too cold.
Yeah, maybe a little bit too cold.
But it's the first quarter. I mean, with the retail and everything, this is not a hot quarter for retail.
Well, we had some bad weather.
Yeah.
You know, certainly affected
things. Give us a break, Bill. Stand by. A quick break. We'll be right back with Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, Chief Economist for the NFIB. That's NFIB.org. And his website is smallbiz.org. And that's smallbus.org. Take a quick break. 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Richard Pennyman. Also known as Little Richard, one of Bill Dunkelberg's favorite singers, right, Bill?
Yeah, I'll go with that.
Dr. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, our guest this half hour and our good friend, longtime member of our Brain Trust, chief economist for the NFIB, founder of a bank. What's the name of your bank, Bill?
Liberty Bell Bank.
Oh, and it's and where is it domiciled?
Well, actually, officially Cherry Hill, New Jersey, right across the river from Philadelphia.
Right, just over the river, and professor of economics at Temple University, formerly the dean of the entire School of Business over there, and just a great resource for us. Couldn't do without him. Bill, the Fed met yesterday and today. One of their 2-day, twice a year they have 2-day sessions. Why do they need 2 days sometimes?
Well, they spend a lot more time looking at, I think, non-monetary policy issues. They have a lot of administrative stuff to worry about, and In terms of implementing regulations like Truth in Lending and all this other stuff they're responsible for.
But so, the meaty stuff, the good stuff, that only happens on the second day, right?
Well, that happens every time. I'm not sure when they put it in the schedule, but
yeah.
if I were Bernanke, I'd put it in the first day so I could get everything done and have time to write up the press release.
Right. Exactly. Good point. Bill. Speaking of Bernanke, Ben Bernanke, ladies and gentlemen, is the new chairman, the latest current chairman of the Federal Reserve Board. And I think he's doing a good job. But doesn't he need to send Alan Greenspan, the past chairman, a set of golf clubs and send him to Boca Raton to get him some golf lessons?
Well, I don't know. I mean,
I'd contribute. Doesn't Alan need to ride on off? God bless him. What a great American, what a great human being he's been and contributor to this world, to this economy. I mean, he was the world's banker, ladies and gentlemen, for almost 20 years. But doesn't he need to kind of just shut up now?
Yeah, I hear you, but I don't think so. I think, there are many other economists who are talking today on TV who are...
But they're not, Bill, you know I love you, and you're a wonderful economist, you're our economist, but you don't... they listen to you, but they don't change. You don't change markets when you speak like
yeah.
he does.
Well, it's not clear that Alan should or shouldn't. But he's a private citizen now. He worked for a measly $140,000 a year.
Poor guy.
A long time. I mean, I get paid more than that for 9 months. He's doing a book, I guess, and he's going to make a few comments. Shame on people for paying.
Good point. You're right. Maybe we all need to take a chill pill when Alan speaks. But
exactly.
I guess it was the first time that he really spoke out, and I felt like he kind of cut the legs out from under Ben a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. You mean his recession comment?
Yeah. He's got to be more careful about that. Okay. What's the Fed going to do today? They're not. Well, you and I agree. They're not going to change rates.
Yeah, we reviewed that in our last segment. They do have kind of a delay. I mean, it's a little slower than they'd like to see it. It's down kind of about where they'd like to see it, but it's a little slow. So on that would say, cut rates. But on the other hand, inflation is stubbornly above their target. So that would say raise rates. So I guess if we average low and raise, we get no change.
Well, the dumbest thing is raise rates. But I'm still sticking by my prediction earlier in the year, Bill, that they would cut rates one quarter in the third quarter.
Yeah. Well, if the more, slows further from where it is now, I think that's probably a pretty good bet. But we're getting into an interesting kind of new version of stagflation. In this case, the economy is growing slowly, but not bad, and inflation is higher than they want, but really pretty low historically. So it's not a bad situation to be in. But,
stagflation, I haven't heard that. Yeah, I haven't heard that in a while. And now see, that's worse. That's a worse than recession, Bill.
It could be. Well, it's harder. Sometimes it's harder to deal with because you're on the horns of the dilemma. I raise rates to bring inflation down, or do I cut rates to move the economy?
Right. What do you think is going to happen the rest of the year? What's your small business owner's budget for the rest of the year?
Well, for us, it looks like we're going to have a year that's about the same. Maybe picks up a little bit at the end of the year. We'll have to see really what happens. Exports is helping everybody because that's growing nicely. Even small helped. We don't export directly that much, but of course we make a lot of stuff that goes into the export. So, the economy is going to be boring, but that's good.
This you're going to find out what kind of manager you are, isn't it? This year.
Exactly. This is you're not going to have an overflow of customers to forgive your.
You're going to earn your. You're going to earn your management money this year.
Exactly.
Hey, Bill, thanks for being here. Good job today, as always.
My pleasure.
We'll see you next time. Bill Dunkelberg, ladies and gentlemen, he is the best. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my hero. Small business owners, this is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.